Many times I have been thankful because I had a good bunch of people to work with all the time I was in the workforce. Before I retired, and I think about a lot of those people. I had some I couldn't figure out, but I had a lot of good people and was able to talk and meet people from many areas of life. And when I was preparing this lesson, my mind kept coming back to one individual that I worked with up at the college. Before I retired, he was an instructor. And often we would have break times at the same time, and we got to know each other, and we would talk. He was level-headed and down to earth and the kind of people I like, so we often talked, and he was always talking about how he loved his family and his children and how much he loved them and stuff. But a while after that, I got some news. They couldn't find this man one day, and they went looking for him. And he was out in the backyard at something he had built for his children. He was telling me one day he found a rope and a tire, and he had built his children a swing and put it in a tree. They found him with the rope around his neck. And he had written a note and pinned it on the front of his shirt. And it said, "Life is just not worth living anymore." I've thought about that a lot. I wish that the man had shared what was on his mind with me so that maybe, you know, I could help or somebody else could help. You know, have you ever thought about where someone's mind has to be when they say that? It just breaks my heart that I couldn't help him. Tomorrow, let's think about that today. And I want to ask you to think about this for just a minute before we start. What does your scheduler look like for tomorrow? Is it packed? Is it like mine? After you retire, sometimes you have a time. You know, sometimes you get in a rotation and you're doing the same thing every day, and you don't have a bunch of appointments. But yours may be packed. But think about that, and think about what this man said. Life is just not worth living. Life is just not worth living. You know, as I head back on my title slide, Job asked a question in his book that he wrote. Job asked one time, if a man dies, will he live again? And he answered that in chapter 19 and in verse 25. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." That shows me that he had no doubts, that he knew that our Lord lives. But think about tomorrow. I can forecast what will be on your tomorrow. And we'll do that in a few minutes. You'd be thinking about that. The Bible tells us actually some things that we are not to do about tomorrow. It tells us that we're not to boast about tomorrow. Not to boast about tomorrow. In Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 1, The writer says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I don't know what will be on my tomorrow or your tomorrow. So let's not boast about it. There are people that do that. Take tomorrow for granted and start saying, not only tomorrow, but the next year for granted. And next year we're going to do this. And 2 years from now we're going to do this. And this is going to be my career. And this is going to be what I do. And this is going to be the car I buy and the place I live in and the house that I live in. Bible tells us to not do that. Don't boast about tomorrow. We just don't know what tomorrow may bring us. And then it also tells us to don't panic about tomorrow. In this text, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins in Matthew chapter 6 talking about the necessities of life. How that people would tend maybe to worry about the necessities of life. What they eat and what they clothe their body with and so forth. And Jesus tells his listeners to think of the sparrows and the birds of air. You see them there and they're not worrying about providing what they'll have tomorrow. But Jesus feeds them, gives them their food. And then he goes on to say that we need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And that's the key. And he says all these things, all these necessities of life that we might worry about and panic about and where will we get them, will we have them, all those things will be added to you, he says. And then he says, makes his conclusion, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. And he says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Tomorrow will have its own troubles. Tomorrow will take care of itself. See, we just have to do the right thing today and not panic about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. But the Bible always tells us not to procrastinate. Nowhere in the scriptures does the Bible ever say, you need to put that off. So many people procrastinate and put off things, and I'll do that tomorrow, and I'll go see this person tomorrow, and I want to ask this person about how they're living in their life, but I'm going to do that tomorrow. This person may not know how I feel about them, but I'm going to tell them tomorrow how much I care. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, the writer says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. You know, if I procrastinated, I would probably never get my garden planted. Looks like rain out today, even though the sun's shining, doesn't it? It might rain. We might have another winter come along, and it may frost if I put something out. The scripture there is dealing with procrastination. Never trust the Lord enough to go ahead and do anything and just procrastinate and and never get anything done. And we can do that. Don't procrastinate until tomorrow. There might be something in your life that is very, very important. And you keep putting it off. Putting it off. And as the song Garth Brooks sings that I enjoy very much, not a song that'll make you very happy, but it says, if tomorrow never comes. I love that. And that's true. Don't procrastinate about something that you need to do. But I told you, I'm going to predict your future. I'm not a paid psychic. The Lord hadn't come down on me in some miraculous way and told me that I can predict the future. And I'm a prophet and I can tell people things are to come. What's coming? That's just not true. But I'm going to predict your future. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles in your future. Do you ever have really bad days that when your day is finished, you maybe sit down at night or maybe laying in the bed at night and you say, what else wrong could have happened? And you start going over everything that happened when you got up. And what people had said to you and hurt your feelings. And how life has treated you that day. The sadnesses you've had to face. The disappointments. And things just didn't go right. And you say, I just don't know how I could have handled one more thing if it had went wrong. You know, you'll have days like that. I predict that you'll have days like that. You'll have troubles and you say, I don't know how I'm going to handle all these things. Because troubles will come. You know, Job, the man we was talking to just a while ago, made a statement about a man that's born or a woman that's born into this world. And he says there that we have two things against us when we're born. We're a few days. This life will seem very short. And they're full of trouble. See, Job was able to do like me, tell what your future will be. And my future will be. My days are going to be few. And they're full of trouble. My grandmother died. She was almost 102. She liked a couple of months. And she told me one time, looking back on her life, it seemed like just a short time she had lived. Went just like that. Troubles. There's going to be changes. Your life is, you will see changes. I remember when I used to be little and ride my bike that I would have never dreamed that you wouldn't have to go and go in the house and go to where the phone was plugged in to make a phone call. Back then, and I would have never believed that there will come a day when somebody will be riding a bike and they'll just pick up their phone and talk to people. That's amazing. It's amazing how many changes I've seen since I've lived. Think about my grandmother, how many she saw at 102. I know you've seen a lot of changes. And you'll see more changes. Things are changing so fast that I can't keep up. But you'll have changes in your life. And I'll make one more prediction and tell you that it's a guarantee that you'll grow old, you'll die, or the Lord will return. I know that. I know that for me too. That's a surety. That will happen. And no way around it. You're going to have to experience that in your life. And I know another thing too. That everyone hearing me in this building right now, and Mark's down hopefully putting this where we can have it on the internet, and everybody that tunes in and hits the Kingston Springs website, and we're to be listening to me, I'll tell you what, we are all going to see God. I can predict everyone's life that's listening to me that they'll see God one day. In Matthew chapter 25, it tells us that. We see there the judgment scene. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. You're going to experience that. A separation that God will make. He'll divide the sheep from the goats on that day. We'll all see Him. And that's a surety. That's a surety. But since, like the song tells us, because He lives, we can face tomorrow, how are we going to do that? Since we'll face these things that I've already told you, how will we be able to face that? How will we let the Lord help us face all these things? Well, when I think about that, it always brings me back to the first chapter of Joshua. And in the first chapter of Joshua, we find some common principles that will tell us how to face tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And it's probably principles that even you could list. May have heard them before, or may have heard them many times. But we want to go through these quickly. That will help us face the future. Because our Lord lives. One thing it tells us in Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8, it tells us we can face the future because the Lord lives by talking about the Word. In this passage, Moses has passed away, the great leader of the Israelites. And God gives Joshua a charge to take over. And He tells him about these principles that will help him in his life. And the first thing that he says is, talk about the Word. You know, I'm really surprised at some of my fellow Christians that sometimes I'll be talking to, and I've gotten the impression that they just don't want to talk about the Word very much. I don't know if they're tired of it, or they're lukewarm, or you start talking about some passage of Scripture or something the Lord commands us to do or whatever, or a Bible story, and they just are not very interested in hearing that. I'm disappointed that, because he tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It'll always be there, always be ready to talk about that. And excited when somebody wants to hear you talk about that, or wants to tell you something about that, or make conversation with you. It's exciting to talk about the Word. That's how we can face tomorrow. Because our Lord lives, and we talk about the Word that He's given us, and it's been recorded for us, and we can go through that and read about Him. But He says also in verse 8, you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate upon the Word. Do you really think about that? Meditate upon the Word. I was thinking about this lesson, and I started to meditate. I guess that's dangerous when I meditate, but I just got to thinking about when the Lord resurrected on that Sunday morning. After all the predictions that was made, all the prophecies that told exactly when the Lord would rise from His grave, there was no one there. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever meditate on His resurrection and study about it and wonder, after all the predictions that was made, told exactly, if one of your family down in the cemetery that's gone on, if it was told you that they would be resurrected next Saturday, would you not be there? People knew it, and there was no one there when Jesus came out of the grave. That's amazing how disappointed you would be. How you thought the people that loved you would be there. And that's what happens when you meditate upon the Word. You think about things like that. But also, he says in verse 8, by putting the Word into practice in our own lives, we can do that because He lives. It says, observe to do according to all that is written in it. We always talk about what it says in James. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Don't just talk about it. You know, a fellow that just talked about fishing never did catch a fish until he went. Talk about it all day long and you'll never catch one till you go. That's for sure. Put God's Word into practice in your everyday life. Let people see the Lord living in you. Like the little girl that came back from her little class on Sunday morning and told her mother that they had been studying about God. And she said, Mom, is this true? Is it true that our Lord is bigger than us? And her mother said, sure. And she said, is it true that God is smarter than us? She said, yeah, it's true. She said, is it true that we should keep the Lord in us? And her mother said, yeah, that's true. And she said, if he's bigger than us, and we have him in our life, he ought to shine through. You ought to see him in there. And see, that little girl was that smart. If we have him, the Lord in us, and he's bigger than us, he ought to show. People ought to see the Lord living in us. Put that word into practice in our own life. And in verse 9, God says, be strong and of good courage to Joshua. Don't be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he said that more than once in that chapter, chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage, and don't be afraid, don't fear, because wherever you go, the Lord's going to be with you. That's positive, isn't it? That's assurance that God will never leave you or forsake you. He'll be right there with you. Have a positive outlook. See, that's what can happen if we put these into practice. But also, the scripture there tells us that we ought to make plans according to God's directions. After Joshua had his charge by the Lord, Joshua went to the people and said this. It says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. People were told to get your things together. Make those plans because God has given us direction. Get your stuff together and be prepared because we're leaving here. You know, may we always do that. Get to work. Make out your plans and follow God's directions, what he would have you do. Just like up in Belmead, we toured the place up there where the slaves were, there at the Belmead Mansion, and we saw how those slaves lived, and I got the image that slave didn't wake up in the morning and, well, I don't know if I go fishing today or I'll hunt or just ride around or walk around. And those slaves got up every day and said, what does my master want me to do today? That's what the slaves did. That's what we ought to do for our Lord. It says we're his servants, and that's a slave. Get up and see what the Lord wants us to do today and make plans, do it and go on out and get our stuff and let's go and do his work. See, that's what we can do because he leaves. I hope this has been profitable for you. I don't know. It's hard for me to comprehend somebody that doesn't have the Lord in their life and how they make it. How do they make it? Sometimes people seem very happy. They appear happy and without the Lord in their lives. And they'll start telling you how they got to do this and how they got to do that and go here and go there and what something that happened in their life, they got this new thing and that new thing. And but how do they make it? How do they make it without the Lord in their lives? How do they face tomorrow with no help from the Lord? I just wonder how we would do that. This group meets here every Sunday. And the congregation here does that not for a spectacle. Not because we're so goody-goody that we want the people to see us all around and what we do. We meet here because every one of us believes that our Lord gave His precious life for us. And He was buried. And that when they went to the tomb, just like has already been read on that Sunday morning, He was not there. He lives. He's very much alive and active and helping us to face tomorrow. Do you have the Lord in your life? There might be someone that's here this morning that their heart's very empty. Might be wondering how they're going to face tomorrow. You could change that this morning by coming to the Lord. The way that's done is a person has sin in their life and they know they've done it, and they realize that all that stuff is wrong. And you can't live and go on like that. You have to rid your life of that. The way you do that is coming to the Lord and confessing His name before others. That Jesus is the Son of God. And that He did just what we said for each one of us. You have to be willing to repent of those sins. Acknowledge you're wrong. Be willing to be baptized in water. That washes, that act washes away your sins. As I always say, nothing magic in that water. You're just simply doing what the Lord has commanded, and you're doing His law that He's left us. That's what He wanted, and that's what we have to do. Then you rise to walk a new life, and as you study His Word, and you don't have to go around asking people, what am I going to do about this happening in my life? It's here. Everything that will happen in your life, the solution is here. Don't go ask somebody what to do. Something has happened to someone already just like you're facing, and you can find it right here. See, that's how we can face tomorrow, because He lives.